come mulch together so the trees will grow.
We mulch, that's why we mulch.
Cause trees
need mulch, and everybody knows we mulch, that's why we mulch.
Come mulch with me. Cause trees need love and people need trees. Without the trees, where would we be? We mulch, that's why we mulch. Come dance together so the trees will grow.
We dance, that's why we dance. Cause trees need dance, and everybody knows we dance, that's why we dance.
I think they've been loving trees a little too much.
Yeah, that's taking tree hugging to a new place. Yep.
Well, let's talk tree benefits. You guys have pulled together a nice list from Trees Are Good. And Richard, you made your own. I don't think we have to sell anybody on the how great trees are, but there's a lot of, when you know these professional sites, there's a lot more to it.
Well, taking off on that whole idea of benefits of trees and the mulching and the you know the tree hugging aspect. You know, in many respects, I proudly wear that label as a tree hugger. I think, you know, each one of us in our own ways have had trees in their lives, and from the time I was a kid, my favorite color was always green, and I think it's so funny. And I didn't plan my career as a result of that, but green is a trees are amazing, and they have so many different benefits. They've kind of been categorized over the years. The ISA, by the way, there's a really, if you get a pencil and paper out right now, there's a great website called treesaregood.org, and it's a really accessible website just talking about trees and their benefits. And there's also on that website a place for you to look up the certified arborist that's closest to your home. Put in your zip code, and you can just find out the arborists that are closest to where you live. But the benefits of trees are unique to every individual. You know, we've all got our reasons for loving them. And I love them because I love to climb them. I've been a climber since I was a kid. All my kids are climbers. I got two sons who own tree services, and they love to climb. My daughter, when she was 2 years old, used to climb the doorpost in our kitchen. She would grab a hold of the casement, put her feet against it like a little monkey, and she would climb up and then hang on the lintel as a 2-year-old. I'm gonna think, I can't believe she's doing this. And I called my mom and I said, Mom, you would not believe what Emily just did. She just climbed up the door casement and is hanging from the lintel. And she said, well, I found you, John, when you were 2 years old on top of the refrigerator. I said, what? She said, yeah, you climbed up on a chair, got on the counter, got on the top of the bread box, then you climbed up on top of the refrigerator. I said, really? Uh-oh, I got a problem here on my hands. But no, I love trees because I love to climb them. How about the rest of you? What's your reasons for loving trees?
There's lots of motivations for hugging a tree. John, you mostly hug a tree just to keep from falling out.
See, I'll take
if the higher I got, the more I'd hug.
I'll take the hugging just a step further, and I'm a more of a forest bather. I mean, the whole thing about forest bathing is getting out into and being with the trees, because there is that societal is where's this place of where you're communing with the plants and with the trees that really has a calming effect on your soul and in your mental energy. And there's lots of studies that have been done lately that just show the societal aspects of trees in a community, and where it really mm-hmm. is good for health, even newborns, and just growing, education. If you can look out the window and be able, like we here at the studio, we can see greenery and trees. It really brings a calmness over us, as well as
research, you know, shows that even patients recover from surgery absolutely. More quickly if they can be looking out a window at trees.
And there's the whole thing with community, a forest within the urban forest within your neighborhood. It actually brings out the community of you and your neighbors, yes. and can yes. really help build the social aspects.
Yeah, for me, it's related to that as well. And just growing up you know, starting in the landscape industry very young and taking care of grass, you know, and mowing people's yards. And that's kind of the smallest little plant tree, you know, little grass. You put them all together. And then just as I grew, then my love for the larger and larger and larger, the more you learn, it's just an amazing thing. And when I teach people about trees or talking about trees, I always start with, you know, just close your eyes for a minute and imagine a whole world without trees. Just try to imagine that for a minute. You know, the Sahara Desert, you know, no trees. I mean, how miserable a place would that be? And trees are so powerful that it seems like everywhere you go in communities or cities or whatever, you see that they go in, they build homes, and they plant plants and trees that grow up. And just like Richard was saying and John was saying, it's because there's something special about them. Also, basically one of the oldest living organisms on Earth. Yeah.
And we're going to get to a really old living organism here. You've got some bald cypress in Black River Preserve in North Carolina that are over 2,000 years old. Anne, were you going to say something real quick?
I was just going to say that with me, it's just the flowers, the foliage, and the wildlife that comes in to trees and things like that. It's just, it is very relaxing and therapeutic, and I wouldn't be without them. I'm a third generation Arizonan, and I just absolutely love the desert, and I like to go visit other places, but we have some beautiful things here, beautiful trees.
Yes, we do.
And we'll talk about the Champion Tree Program in a minute as well, because that's one that's I really enjoy and the history behind it. But we've got John on the line, who's got a palibrio that's struggling, so let's see if we can help him at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. John, how can we help?
Yeah, so I have a palibrio that we planted when we bought the house, and it's a really good size now, but one side of it is fully green, all the leaves on the ends and throughout the tree, and then the other part of it is struggling and only has leaves here and there.
Well, how old is the tree? How long has it been in the ground?
The tree's probably 15 years.
Okay. Yeah, we're all looking at each other and you know, wishing it were, we could say it was something else. But if it's been in the ground that long, there's plenty of time for some insects to have gotten into that the root zone of that tree. We're thinking of the Palo Verde borer. There's an insect that lays its eggs, and the larva stage of that insect chews on the roots of Palo Verdes primarily. That's their main menu item. And unfortunately, they do a lot of damage underground to the roots, and then you see the corresponding dieback of the foliage above. It's just a matter of time before you start to see that occur. A telltale sign is you'll see little holes around the base of the tree about the size of a quarter. Those are the exit holes of the adults that emerge in June every year. And if you see those holes around the base of the tree, you can be pretty certain that you have Palo Verde borers that are eating the roots of the tree. I wish it were something different than that. It could be a girdling root. Occasionally you'll find a girdling root that can strangle that side of the tree or roots on that side. And that would also restrict the water nutrient uptake from the roots. And then you'll see the corresponding dieback above. But it might be good to get an arborist in your area. Go to treesaregood.org and give them a call and have them come out and take a quick look, and they can diagnose that pretty quickly if they're a good arborist.
And when you're talking girdling roots, what makes that happen? Is that not moving the water out following the branches as the tree's growing? Is it hard soil?
That's a contributing factor, but there's lots of reasons why girdling roots are...
Usually it happens sometime. Well, a lot of times it happens at the nursery level, and the tree can encircle the whole area that it's got. And if those aren't teased or cut before you put it in the ground, the roots don't know to start moving outward. And the way people water, they need to water so that the roots will be encouraged to move out.
That's why planting is probably the most important time of a tree when you're putting it in the ground, to really look at that root structure and absolutely, see what it is. Yes. And sometimes you'll have to spread them out, and you might have to cut some roots.
Yes.
People don't understand that you can really prune roots, and sometimes that's what you really need to do when you're putting your tree in the
ground. Yeah, when you take the plant out of the container, if you see there's a big mat of roots that have collected on the out, right at the edge of the container itself, sometimes you can remove those, or as I said, tease them out or move them, manipulate them so that they'll start to grow outward. But a lot of the best practices is actually to cut that mat of roots entirely to lose that. So then the roots will grow outward instead of just wrapping around in the direction they were in the container.
And this is about the age where you start maybe seeing problems from that, you know, 7 to 15 years later, you know, the tree will adapt. What the color might want to do, or other people, is sometimes those are a girdling root might be just under the soil, where you just kind of go around that trunk at the base and carefully clear out around it and see if you see a root that's crossing over the main stem, that's girdling, that's pressing in, destroying that cambial tissue right there, cutting it off. Sometimes you can, you know, look at that yourself and then call somebody if that's an issue.
And if it's the beetle, is there any defense? Is there any cure?
It's pretty difficult to do.
Is it?
Yeah, there's a lot of soil volume to treat chemically, and sometimes it's just impractical to think about trying to, you know, treat 25 cubic yards of soil at a depth of, you know, 3 feet with a large mature tree. But, you know, that being said, you know, we have done some kind of targeted treatments within about a 3 foot radius around the tree, with the hopes of providing a chemical barrier from the insects getting up to those main buttress roots. Because once those main buttress roots are girdled and the insects are in and around that main root ball, it's all over for the tree.
And so, if you would lose that tree due to the beetle borer, you pull it out, you wouldn't want to put another tree in that hole, would you?
Probably not, because if they've colonized that area of soil, yeah, you know, you don't want to put a Cercidium or Parkinsonia back in there, another Palo Verde hybrid. Maybe another tree would be better. Although those Palo Verde borers are pretty indiscriminate. They will. We've seen them in mesquites. We've seen them in ironwoods. Oh. We've seen them in pines.
Right. Seen them in olives.
They prefer Palo Verdes, but if, right, Palo Verdes aren't there and the insects, right, are present, they need a food source, they will go to other trees as well.
A lot of times it's about control. You know, we talked about we can treat them before. The key is the timing. It's hard to get the timing just perfect to get, you know, maybe the larva right when you can actually kill them. So that's why, just like with the agave woods, you know, you a couple applications at just the right time, and hopefully you can control it a little bit. Maybe not going to ever, like John was saying, completely eradicate it. And weather conditions play a big role in that. If a tree is stressed, boom, I mean, they're really going to come in.
I think that's a point there on the stress.
Yeah.
Proper tree health is really important, because some Palo Breas or the Palo Verde species, they can live with a little bit of the root borer,
sure,
activity. But once they become stressed with either environmental conditions or irrigation or girdled root or something, that actually puts them on the other edge.